handing it to him. Together, we flipped through the pictures. My hands on my shirt, on his chest, my breasts, my neck. We paused at the picture of my hands unbuttoning his jeans, pulling him out. When we got to one of my thumbs sweeping over the head of his cock, he rolled over onto me, hard again.
"No, wait," I said, the words dying inside his mouth as he kissed me. "Delete the face ones, Max."
With a groan, he rolled back over and showed them to me. I couldn't deny they were some of the most sensual things I'd seen. My teeth bared against his hip, my tongue touching the tip of his cock, and finally, my mouth spread around him while I stared directly into the camera. My eyes had grown so dark it was clear I would suck him as long as I could. With a photo like that, I would remain in that position forever. He clicked the delete button, confirmed the request, and then it was gone.
"That was the hottest thing I'd ever seen," he said,
rolling over onto me again and kissing my neck.
"I really despise that no-faces rule."
I didn't say anything. Instead, I pushed his pants the rest of the way down his legs. Then he shoved my shorts off and pulled my legs around his hips.
"Get a condom," I mumbled into his neck.
"Actually," he started,
pulling back just enough to look me in the eye.
"I was hoping we could move past the condom rule."
"Max."
"I have this."
He pulled the paper out from under the blanket. Ah, the ever-romantic test results.
"I haven't gone bare since high school," he explained. "I'm not fucking anyone else, and I want to be bare with you."
"How do you know I'm on birth control?"
"Because I saw your pills in your purse at the library."
He shifted back, positioning himself to press against me and rocked his hips.
"Is this okay?"
I nodded, but asked, "Aren't you worried about my history?" He smiled, kissed along my shoulder, and ran a hand up and over my breast.
"Tell me."
I swallowed, breaking eye contact and looking to the side. He put a finger on my chin, turning my face back to his. "I've had one other lover," I admitted. Max's eyes stopped smiling.
"You've been with one other person."
"But he fucked everyone else in Chicago while we were together." He let out a quiet curse.
"Sarah."
"So, if you consider that I've been with everyone he was with, then I've been with far more than one." I tried to smile to take the sharpness out of my words.
"Have you been tested since?"
"Yes." I shifted my hips up against his, wanting this more than I realized. Andy had started using condoms halfway through our relationship. That alone should have clued me in somehow. At the time, it felt depressingly distancing, although he told me it was to be sure we didn't have kids before we were ready. Now, I realized, he afforded me at least that one courtesy. But Max was doing it all backward. Distance at first, and then careening headlong into this strange monogamy we had. "Crap, Sarah. That's how most people do it." I tugged at his hips, lifted to suck at his neck.
"Okay, then."
Max moved back, reached between us, and slid inside with a low groan. Slowly, slowly, slowly he filled me, and then he covered my body with his, kissed his way up my neck, and pressed his lips against mine.
"Fucking brilliant," he whispered. "Christ, there's nothing like this."
A strange desperation took over me. I had never felt his weight on me so fully, felt every bit of his bare skin, and it was a completely different type of possession. His shoulders were so broad, every muscle bunched and defined under my hands. Inside and over me, Max felt like his own planet. He continued to kiss me as he moved, starting so slow, letting me feel every inch.
"Someone could look over here, see you beneath me, thighs spread, your bare feet on my legs."
He lifted himself on his elbows, looked down at my breasts.
"Think they'd like to see these?"
I closed my eyes and arched my back so he could get a better look. God, there was a strange safety with Max. He never made it seem weird
or wrong that I liked the idea of people watching us. It was as if he loved it just as much as I did, wanted to get caught, too.
"Think you want someone to watch you get fucked sometime?"
he asked, speeding up a little. My honesty tumbled forward, breathless. "I like the idea of people seeing you like this with me."
"Yeah?
I don't know that I wanted this before I met you." He fell over me, heavy and warm.
"I'd give you anything you wanted. I love how you transform when I'm fucking you and watching. When I'm taking pictures, you lose your mysterious little shield and open up like you're finally breathing."
I stretched under him, pulling him as close as I could, and looked up at the dark sky just as the first firework shot out over the river. The sound followed the light, and a deep boom shook the roof below my back. More fireworks exploded in a flurry, stars and flames and lights so brilliant and close that it felt like the sky was on fire. The building under me vibrated, shaking my bones and ripping through my chest.
"Holy fuck,"
he said, laughing, and moved harder, jerking roughly, growing close. I knew his tells already so well. He was barely hanging on. The sound was almost deafening so near to the river, and the air grew heavy with sulfur, smoke, and light. He reached near my head, raised himself up on his knees, and pounded into me, snapping a picture of where we came together as the lights shone red and blue and green on my skin. I took a deep breath and fell to pieces, crying out sharply, but my sound was lost in the thundering all around us. Max drew a blanket from a pile and wrapped it around us both, perhaps less because it was cold and more because we were no longer performing for our imagined audience. We were simply sipping beer, holding hands, watching the fireworks. "You said you haven't made a commitment in a while. But is it weird to be monogamous with a sex buddy?" I asked, turning to watch his face. He laughed and tilted his beer bottle to his lips.
"No, I'm not such a wanker that I can't be with one person if that's what she wants."
"What she wants? You'd be okay if I was with other men?" He shook his head and looked back to the river, where the smoke was just now starting to clear.
"Don't think so, actually."
He lifted his beer again, emptied it.
"We didn't use a condom tonight, if you recall. Couldn't do that if you were with other men."
He reached over to grab another beer, and the blanket fell off his shoulders, revealing his bare back, each muscle tightly defined. I leaned forward and kissed my way up from the middle of his spine to his neck. "When was the last time you had a girlfriend? Was Cecily a girlfriend?"
"Not really."
He moved back beside me and cuddled under the blanket.
"I've dated a couple of women exclusively since I moved here, but it's been forever since I loved someone, if that's what you mean."
I nodded. "I guess that's what I mean."
"I had a serious girlfriend at uni for a bit. She went off with a mate of mine. Married him, actually. I was right pissed off at women for a bit after that. Now I just realize relationships are a lot of work, and energy, and time."
He took a sip, swallowed.
"And I haven't had a lot of that, trying to get the company up and running. I'm not opposed to the idea of having someone, but it's hard to find a good fit in this city. Strange as that sounds in a place with, like, 8 million people."
I felt absolutely nothing when he said this. No pang of hope that it would be me. No worry that Max was hoping to find someone else. For someone like me, who had, if anything, always felt more rather than less, it was jarring. The eeriest hollow sensation bloomed in my chest. "I should probably go," I said, stretching and letting the blanket fall away. Max looked over my naked body before meeting my eyes.
"Why are you always in such a hurry to leave?"
"We don't do overnights," I reminded him.
"Not even on holidays. I could use a morning shag. We can use Mum's guest room."
"So call Will. He's cute."
"I would, but he always insists on being Big Spoon. It's awkward."
He paused.
"Wait. You think Will is cute?"
I laughed, taking a final sip of beer and reaching for my clothes. "Yes, but you're more my type."
"Posh. Gifted in the penis department. Godlike.
I looked over at him and laughed. I was going to say you have the perfectly filthy mouth. His eyes darkened and he leaned to kiss me.
Stay over. Please, Petal. I want to fuck you in the morning when you're all sleep-rumpled and drowsy.
I can't, Max. He stared at me for a long beat, and then looked away, raising his bottle to his lips, mumbling,
He really did a number on you.
Around it. I felt my smile fade. It's better when you don't try to find meaning in a woman who wants sex to just be sex. Yes, Andy did a number on me, but that isn't why I don't want to stay over. I looked at him for a moment before remembering to pull my smile back in place. I can't wait to see what you come up with for next week. By the time I made it home, the high of being with Max had fizzled into a strange ache beneath my ribs. I tossed my keys and bag to the table in the hall and leaned back against the wall, looking into the inky darkness of my living room. My place was small, but in the few short months I'd been in New York, it had come to feel more like home to me than had the palatial home I'd shared with Andy for almost 5 years. But tonight, with the echo of music and sparklers bouncing off the buildings, and the sound of laughter and celebrations shouted from the sidewalks outside, my tiny space felt lonely for the first time since I'd arrived. Without turning on any lights, I stripped as I made my way to the bathroom and stepped into the cramped shower. I stood under the hot spray and closed my eyes, hoping the sound of water would drown out the noise in my head. It didn't work. My muscles were tense and sore, and the subtle ache between my legs made it almost impossible for my thoughts to not continually circle back to Max. I'd never been the type of girl to obsess over a man before, but that was definitely what seemed to be happening. Max wasn't only gorgeous, he was nice. And I knew it was the sex that made us truly compatible. I was still having a hard time wrapping my head around my newfound obsession with being watched by him, maybe even also by others. But that need pushed up like steam beneath my skin, warm and exciting and impossible to ignore. And Max seemed to accept it, embrace it even, as easily as he did everything else. Where my relationship with Andy had been only for public display, Max seemed to have tapped into my unfamiliar desire to be watched while respecting my need for privacy. For as much as Max was the playboy and seemed to be wrong for me in every possible way, he was letting me experience something I never would have felt safe enough to try with Andy. Was it really that simple? Was I keeping Max at arm's length because it was the opposite of everything I had with Andy? My relationship with Andy had false depth and lacked any spark. My relationship with Max was intentionally simple, and even seeing him from a distance made it feel like a torch ignited in my chest. I turned off the water, suddenly too warm. For a beat, I regretted not still being with Max. I'd squandered the chance to touch his skin, taste his sounds, and feel his weight over me all night long. But when I walked into my bedroom and studied my reflection in the mirror on my closet door, I looked suddenly unfamiliar to myself. I stood straighter, blinked less, watched more. Even I could see there was some wisdom in my eyes that hadn't been there before.
Ten. I still don't understand why you're coming with me today. I bit back a smile as I met Will's annoyed expression in the mirrored doors of the elevator, ignoring the curious glances we'd earned from some of the other passengers around us. He hit the button for the 18th floor. My attention lingered on the label beside it, Ryan Media Group. You know how much I enjoy seeing you in action, fish in a barrel, or whatever it is you Americans say? First of all, he said, quieter now, you're using that wrong, and nobody says that anymore. And second, you're full of shit. You have 100 other meetings this week. I know you're swamped. Why on earth are you coming to this? It's not anything I need you for. You're right. Technically, I don't need to be here. But I've seen you in these kinds of meetings before, mate. Someone starts talking about neurotransmitter somethings or chemical scaffolds, and it's like you've smoked a blunt. Just here to make sure you don't geek out on us all and agree to some ridiculous budget. I do not geek out. No, of course you don't, I said. And weren't you the one going on about great contacts? I'll spend some time chatting up Bennett while we're here and kill two birds with one stone, yeah? I couldn't even swallow my own excuse. I wasn't used to feeling this out of my depth with women. I certainly wasn't used to sneaking around like a bloody teenager in order to catch a few minutes alone with one. This thing with Sarah was engineered to be simple, but right now it felt anything but. A few hours ago, I'd thought I had it all figured out. Tag along to the meeting at RMG, use Bennett as an excuse should Will question, and if luck was on my side, run into Sarah on a Monday rather than having to wait all the way until Friday. Spending time with her outside of our arrangement had spoiled me. Getting a wank in the back of a cab hadn't hurt either. But now I felt conflicted, wondering if I was asking for trouble by blurring the lines like this. The doors opened and Will turned to me. As long as you understand that this is my show, you just sit there and look smart. Mr. Sumner, Mr. Stella, the receptionist, greeted us. Nice to see you again. She led us down the hall to the large conference room lined with windows, New York poised like a postcard on the other side. Mr. Ryan is on his way down. Seems like a shame to spend your free afternoon here when you could be visiting your mysterious little sex kitten, Will said when we were alone again. I walked over to the window and looked down at the traffic on the street below. What makes you think she's free in the afternoon? Will began going through his papers, and I took a seat at the long table, letting my mind wander to the last time I'd been in this building. I'd been chasing after her that day, too, though admittedly not that much had changed. Sure, I'd spent time with her, fucked her and tasted her and touched practically every inch of her body, but I was no closer to understanding what was going on in that pretty little head now than I was then. The sound of voices carried down the hall, and I looked up just as Bennett walked inside. Will, he said, reaching out to shake his hand. Thanks for coming down. He gave me a curious smile. Max, wasn't expecting to see you today. You joining in on our discussion of B&T Biotech? It was impossible to miss the smug look of satisfaction on Will's face. Both he and Bennett knew I'd only scraped my way through biochemistry by flirting with the professor, Dr. William Haverston. They loved to reminisce about the boyfriend I almost had. He's just full of surprises, Will said. He certainly is, Bennett agreed. I hadn't really considered the Bennett angle. It had been a few weeks since the fundraiser, but I couldn't help but wonder whether he knew I was here more for Sarah and less for the discussion of the latest in proteomics. I think you're both a couple of tossers, I mumbled. There was a flurry of activity as the others filed in. Unfortunately for my attempt at maintaining a cool front, Sarah was the last through the door. She looked amazing, and as Bennett made the introductions, I let my gaze travel up the length of her body. Navy skirt, cute little pink sweater over the gentle swell of her breasts, and a neck I wanted to suck on for hours. This is Sarah Dillon, head of our finance department, Bennett said to Will. Will stepped forward. Yes, we've been exchanging emails. So nice to finally meet you, Sarah. We missed each other at the fundraiser last month, I think. They spoke for a moment before she glanced my way, her eyes going wide for the briefest moment. She walked over, hand outstretched, and did not look entirely pleased to see me. I believe we met at the fundraiser, she said, tight smile in place. Max Stella, was it? I took her hand, letting my thumb graze the inside of her wrist. I'm flattered you remember, Sarah. She pulled her hand back, smiling blandly at me and moving to her seat. I moved on to Chloe, making small talk and accepting a vague invitation for dinner sometime in the next few weeks. It was pretty clear why Bennett was so taken with her. She was beautiful and obviously sharp. I didn't miss the way her eyes flickered to Bennett's and then back to me, as if they were having some sort of silent conversation. At one point he rolled his eyes, face stretching into a smile unlike anything I'd ever seen on him before. The poor bastard was whipped. As the meeting started, I took the only seat available, right next to Sarah. Judging by her expression, I wasn't entirely convinced this was a good thing. The minutes seemed to drag by, and Jesus Christ, this really was the most boring thing I'd ever sat through. Science and strategies about science. At one point, I could have sworn I saw Will's eyes roll closed in ecstasy. Sarah was still silently fuming beside me. What happened that had us so tense? I could feel every bit of space that separated her body from mine. I had to consciously work to keep my hands in my lap. I was aware of every movement she made, every time she shifted in her chair or reached for her bottle of water. I could smell her. I hadn't realized how hard it would be to be this close and not be able to run my hands along her skin to do something as simple as tuck her hair behind her ear. Why the fuck did I suddenly want to tuck her hair behind her ear? This plan had officially gone to shite. Immediately after Will's portfolio presentation, Sarah excused herself and left before I could talk to her anymore. When I finally disentangled myself from a conversation about the best way to highlight the firm's proteomic technology and the marketing strat plan, I practically sprinted to her office. "Hello," her assistant said, looking me up and down from behind his monitor. "I'm here to see Miss Dillon," I said, continuing on to her office. "Good luck, because she's not there," he called over my shoulder. I turned to find that he'd gone back to his spreadsheets. "Any idea where she might be?" Without looking up, he answered, "Probably out for a walk. She just stormed through here like someone had set her shoes on fire." He blinked over to me. "She usually goes to the park when she wants to stab someone." Oh, for fuck's sake. I ran to the elevator, ignoring the looks I got along the way, and watched the floors count down. What the hell had gone wrong? I'd barely said two words to her in there. The heat of the afternoon hit me like a wall as I stepped outside, even in the suffocating shadows of the buildings overhead. I looked up and down the street, turning on foot in the direction of the park. The sideways were crowded with dog walkers and tourists, but hopefully her shoes would slow her down enough that I'd be able to catch up. It was the strangest feeling to move from the city and into the park, where the smells of asphalt and exhaust were replaced with trees and leaves, damp dirt and water. I saw a flash of pink at the end of the trail, and I sped up, calling out to her, "Sarah!" She stopped on a paved trail and whipped around to face me. "Holy hell, Max, what were you thinking?" I pulled up short. "What?" "Back there," she said, short of breath. "I didn't know you guys funded B&T. They don't need to disclose that at this stage. Hello, conflict of interest." I scrubbed my face, wishing this simple arrangement would stop feeling so fucking complicated. I didn't think it would be a problem. "Let me lay it out for you," she said. "The head of finance of B&T's marketing firm is sleeping with the head of the venture capitalist firm that pays said marketing firm. Think you maybe have a conflict? Do you think maybe you'd like your new sex buddy to have some business? Or maybe you'd like to ensure your new venture gets the best possible price on premium marketing strategy?" Was she kidding with us bollocks? I felt my face grow hot with indignation. "Christ, Sarah, I'm not bringing you business because I worry about you, or shagging you to ensure you do your job well." She sighed, holding her hands up. "I don't actually think that, but that's how it could look. How long have you been doing this? Don't you know how these things get spun? This is a new position for me. This is your business, and people are hungry for every detail about you. Look how much the press follows you, even 5 years after Cecily left town." She was hypersensitive about publicity and spin, and it was bewildering. This was all a load of bullshit, and I could tell she knew that. She looked away, arms crossed over her midsection, shoulders slumped. The truth was, I didn't care who saw me with Sarah. 5 years out from the Cecily drama, and I realized you couldn't help what anyone said anymore. No way could Sarah understand that. I walked over to a willow tree several feet away, ducking under the curtain of leaves, and sat down with my back to the trunk. "I don't think this is as big an issue as you're making it out to be." She stepped closer but remained standing. "My point is, there needs to be some level of discretion. With or without a potential conflict, I don't want Bennett to think I sleep with clients as a point of habit. Fair enough, but I don't think Bennett has a lot of room to criticize. I watched her legs move closer, bend, and then she was sitting next to me on the warm grass. There wasn't any reason for you to be there. I wasn't expecting to see you, and it threw me. Bloody hell, Sarah. I wasn't going to try to finger you beneath the table. I just wanted to come along and get a chance to see you, say hello. You could be more adaptable, you know. She laughed a little and then stopped. But then a few seconds passed and I realized she started to laugh again, silent at first, and then she was holding her stomach, bent in half, practically howling with laughter. You think? She managed. I had no idea what I had said that triggered her reaction, so I just sat still, imagining that less was probably more when sitting beside a woman who might or might not really be losing her kit. She calmed, wiping her eyes and sighing. Yes, I could be more adaptable. Having sex with a guy in a club, in a banquet hall, a warehouse, a library. Oh, Sarah, I didn't mean... She held up her hand. No, it's just a good lesson to me. Stretching myself is a constant process. As soon as I stop and consider how well I'm handling one thing, I see how rigid I am about something else. I pulled up a long blade of grass, considering this. I should have texted. Probably. But you know, I would have been thrilled to see you randomly show up in a meeting at Stella and Sumner. You also want to go out to dinner with me and have me sleep in your mother's guest room and probably even make cookies with me or something. Because I don't care if we're seen together, I said, growing frustrated. Why do you? Because people will get invested, she said, turning to look at me. People will discuss it, make a narrative out of it. They'll speculate, look into who we are, what we both want. Relationships in the public eye don't do well, and it will follow you forever if you admit you care. Right, I said, nodding once. I listened to the wind blowing past us, muted by the curtain of leaves. I liked being in this little cave of quiet, hidden from foot traffic, birds, anything else that might want to witness our conversation and my silent meltdown. Too many things were bubbling up inside me. The realization that I wanted Sarah, that I'd always wanted Sarah from the first day I saw her. I also accepted the truth that I'd expected Sarah to eventually hope for more, and that I would be the one setting limits, not her. Max, I'm kind of a mess, she said quietly. Will you at least tell me why? Not today, she said, looking up at the branches overhead. I'm happy with what we're doing, but it's not always easy to be kept at such arm's length. She laughed a little, humorlessly. I know. And then she leaned over and pressed her mouth against mine. I expected a tiny peck, a discreet public kiss to wipe the slate clean after I'd admitted I should have given her a heads up and she admitted she'd overreacted. But it turned into something wholly deeper, her hands on either side of my face, mouth open and hungry for more, and finally her climbing over me, straddling my thighs. Why are you so nice? She whispered, and then kissed me, muting any possible reply. But this one stuck. It felt too big to disregard and pave over with my hand in her underwear or a grind under a tree. I pulled back. I'm nice because I'm genuinely fond of you. Do you ever lie? She asked, eyes searching mine. Of course I do. But why would I want to be dishonest with you? Her face straightened and she nodded thoughtfully. After a long pause, she whispered, I should get back. My mood shifted immediately from warm and intimate to resigned business as usual. The girl was a boomerang. Okay. She stood, wiping the grass from her knees and skirt. We probably shouldn't walk back together. I could only nod, for fear I'd let loose a litany of frustration over her publicity rules, particularly after she just climbed into my lap beneath a tree. After a lingering look, she stretched and kissed my jaw once, carefully. I'm fond of you too. I watched her walk away, head straight and shoulders back, looking to all the world as if she were returning from nothing but a brisk walk through the park. I looked around me, as if it were possible to collect together the heart I'd nearly spilled all over the grass.
11. To say my interaction with Max at the park had been odd would be an understatement. I knew I'd overreacted, but honestly, so had he. Worrying about my reaction in the conference room? Chasing me down? What were we doing? Monday night, I came home and spent 2 hours making Abelskivers for dinner. Puffed balls of dough, fried and powdered in sugar, traditionally served for breakfast, but screw it. I needed something elaborate. It was my grandmother's recipe from Denmark, and focusing on making them perfect gave me time to think. I hadn't spent much time thinking at all lately. But cooking something so associated with my family also made me miss home. Miss my parents. Miss the safety of a predictable life, no matter how depressing or untrue. I reached for my phone, not caring how messy my hands were. Mom picked up on the 7th ring, so typical. "Hi, Pumpkin!" I heard something crash in the background and she swore. "Fuck sticks!" "You okay?" I asked, smiling into the call. It was amazing how 3 words could make me feel grounded. "Fine, just dropped my iPad. You okay, honey?" And when she asked this, I remembered I'd called her that morning on my walk to the subway. "Just wanted to hear your voice." She paused. "Feeling homesick?" "A little." "Tell me," she said, and I immediately remembered the hundreds of times she'd said exactly this, urging me to let it all out. "I met a man."
"Today?"
I winced. I'd spoken to my parents a few times a week since I'd moved, and had never mentioned Max. What was there to mention? They didn't want to know about my sex life any more than I wanted to share it. "No, a few weeks ago." I could practically hear her strategizing her best response, supportive but protective. How one reacts the first time their daughter starts dating after a horrible public breakup.
"Who is he?"
"A finance guy here, local. But not," I said, shaking my head and wishing I could start over. "He's British."
"Ooh, a foreigner, how fabulous," she said, laughing, putting on her thick southern drawl.
And then she paused.
"Are you telling me this because it's serious?"
"I'm telling you this because I have no idea." I loved my mother's laugh. I missed its frequency.
"That's the best stage."
"Is it?"
"For sure. Don't you dare squander it. Don't let that jerk of an ex-boyfriend keep you from having fun."
I sighed. "But it feels so uncharted. I always knew what to expect with Andy." As soon as I said it, I regretted it, and her answering silence felt thundering.
"Did you?"
She knew me so well. I could practically see her arms crossed, her I'm-gonna-kick-some-ass face. "No, I didn't."
"Do you feel like you know this guy?"
"That's the weird thing. I kind of feel like I do." No matter how much I thought about it, or how little sleep I got that night, it'd be fair to say I had no idea where Max's head was after what happened Monday. The dynamics were backward. He was supposed to know how to do this casual thing. I was supposed to know how to do commitment. And neither of us was supposed to want anything but sex. But somehow, it had never been like that. The niggling desire to know each other had started pushing its way in from day one. And I knew that as much as I wanted to be a person who could compartmentalize my relationship into just sex, I never really would be. I remembered the panic on his face when he chased me down and felt a stab of guilt. "Sarah, you are a complete fail at booty call for beginners." On Wednesday, he texted me a picture from our night at the library. It was of the hem of my dress, pushed up against my lower back. A simple shot. But he'd stylized it into black and white, and the original was blurry enough for me to know he'd taken it toward the end. when I'd dissolved into inarticulate recitation and he'd followed me into orgasm with a groan muffled against my neck. On Thursday, it was a picture I remembered seeing as we flipped through his phone on the 4th of July. It was a photo of my hands unbuttoning his jeans. I'd pulled the denim away from his skin just enough to see the faint shape of his cock straining against his gray boxer briefs. Both pictures were sent around lunchtime, and I received them while I worked on finalizing two major contracts. I tried to convince myself that I felt giddy from getting a few contracts done rather than from the prospect of seeing him. I was a giant lying liar. "Question," George said, walking into my office without knocking first. "Are we entirely sure Max Stella is straight? I've been thinking about this since he was here on Monday." I blinked, trying to figure out if I'd just said his name out loud or if George was just doing what Chloe had been doing since the Stella and Sumner meeting, making constant, casual references to their firm and then watching me for any reaction. "Pretty sure." "Maybe he's bi?" I looked up at him and dropped my red pen onto the thick contract in front of me. "Honestly, I really doubt it." George lifted two curious eyebrows. "You know personally?" I gave him my most intimidating glare, which, to be fair, was not very intimidating. No way was George going to play this game today. "Did you get the signatures from Miller and Cortez on the Agent Provocateur campaign?" My assistant narrowed his eyes at me. "Fine, I won't ask any more. But just know that I'm suspicious, ma'am. Very suspicious. You looked like your underpants were on fire when you saw him on Monday. And yes, I got the signatures." "Good." Just as I spoke, my phone buzzed on my desk and I quickly flipped it over, reminding myself for the millionth time that I needed to change my preview settings in case Max was texting me another picture. George's face was priceless. His restraint appeared to cause him physical pain. "You're adorable, but go," I said. "Who's texting you?" "Until you marry me and pay all my bills, that will never be an appropriate question. Even then, you're unlikely to get an answer." "Fine." With a long middle finger raised, he swept from my office and back to his desk. I glanced down at my screen, holding my breath. It was a text from Max, and my pulse exploded into a gallop. "Office being painted and recarpeted over the weekend. Must pack it up Friday after work, so I'm stuck in, I'm afraid." Quickly, I typed, "So I won't see you until next week?" As soon as I hit send, I realized just how desperate I sounded. "Hello, Sarah. You sound desperate because you are." Within a couple of minutes, he replied, "I presume you remember where my office is? I'll see you at 6, Petal." Like many of the floors in our building, the Stella and Sumner offices were nearly deserted by 6 on Friday night. Max's mother wasn't at the front desk, and only a couple of people remained in cubicles as I walked through the halls to his office. I knocked on his door quietly and heard his deep voice tell me to come in. I have it bad for this man, I realized when I saw him, sitting behind his desk with his sleeves rolled up and wearing thick-rimmed glasses. He wore an expression of such acute concentration it nearly stole my breath. It turned out Max's focused-at-work face closely mirrored his concentrating on giving Sarah an orgasm face. "Lock the door behind you, if you would," he murmured, without looking away from his computer monitor. I turned, clicked the lock, and then glanced around his office again. How long were we going to be here? And when would he look up and tell me I looked beautiful? Our habits were already so heavily ingrained. His office didn't look at all like it was on the verge of being painted. He'd barely started putting things away. Books and piles of papers lined one wall, and at least 20 empty boxes were stacked in a corner, waiting to be filled. "I'm sure it will be boring for you to be here with me, and I'm a selfish prick for asking you to do this, but go ahead and take off your clothes." I felt my mouth fall open, eyes go wide. "What?" "Clothes. Off," he said, and pulled his glasses down his nose as he finally looked over at me. "You expected to remain clothed?" Shaking his head, he pushed the frames back up and returned his attention to his computer.
I fucking hate packing. Seeing you naked will be the only good thing about this night.
I said, trying to form a response. The truth was that old Sarah would never have even entertained the idea of just casually sitting naked in front of someone, which was exactly why I wanted to do it. I walked toward the couch and pulled my short-sleeved cashmere sweater over my head. I slipped out of my blue ballet flats with the British flag embroidered on top, and then wiggled out of my dark skinny jeans, mumbling, "You didn't even notice my shoes."
"Like hell I didn't. God save the Queen," he said dryly, winking at me.
"I notice every single thing about you, Sarah."
"You do?"
"Try me."
"Where's my birthmark?"
"On your right side, just beneath your smallest rib."
"Do you have a favorite freckle?"
Tricky question, I thought. I don't have many freckles.
"The one on your wrist."
I glanced down to the freckle in question, impressed.
"What do I say when I'm about to come?"
"When you're coming, you just make unintelligible sounds. But when you're close, you just whisper, 'Please,' over and over, as if I'd ever deny you."
"What does my pussy taste like?" I asked, and his eyes shot away from the screen and to me. I bit back a grin as I pushed my underwear down my legs and stepped out of them.
"Some pussy just tastes like pussy. Yours tastes like good pussy."
He stood, walking over to me.
"Lie down on the couch with your head here."
He positioned the back of my head on the arm of the leather couch. It was surprisingly comfortable for such firm leather.
"And knees up, legs spread."
My eyes widened slightly, but I did what he told me to, smiling when he brushed the hair from my forehead and adjusted my posture as if I were a piece of art he was hanging on a wall.
"Draw me like one of your French girls, Jack," I said, looking up at him.
He reached down and pinched my ass.
"Cheeky."
To test him, I closed my legs a little as he started to walk away.
"Wide," he called over his shoulder.
I laughed and moved back to how he'd positioned me. Max returned with a book and handed it over.
"This is to entertain you while I work."
"You're not going to be naked, too?"
"Are you mad?"
he asked, grinning.
"I have to pack."
I glanced down at the book in my hands. It had a bare-chested man on the cover with a cat and a half-naked woman at his feet. Cat's claws.
"This looks interesting," I said, flipping it over to read the summary.
"The guy has two partners. One is the human named Cat, and then she has a werecat." I glanced up at him.
"As a pet."
"A pet they both have sex with."
"It sounded rather cerebral."
"You got this off the dollar table, didn't you?"
"I did. It looks smashingly crude, though, so I knew you'd love it."
He turned and started moving things around on his desk.
"Now quiet, Petal. I'm very busy."
At first it felt almost impossible to focus on the book in my hands, but as the minutes ticked by and Max apparently grew absorbed in the process of packing up his desk, I started to forget that I was sitting on his couch. Alone. Totally naked. The book he'd given me was ridiculously filthy, not to mention wordy as hell. The writing was horrible, but I suspected that wasn't really the point. There were multiple men, multiple women, too many appendages to keep straight, but again, it didn't matter. The point was the sex happening, and how descriptive it was. Everyone had some body part that was hard or dripping, or both. People screamed and, sometimes literally, clawed at things. And in the corner, the hero sat simply watching.
"You're blushing."
He put a stack of books down and leaned against his desk, watching me.
"You've been reading that for 15 minutes, and something you've just read made you flush scarlet."
I looked up at him and winced. "It's the C word. It just surprised me, that's all."
"Cunt."
I nodded, surprisingly aroused by the bluntness of the word in his accent. It lacked the T. Somehow that softened it, made it into something far sexier.
"I bloody love that word. Such an ugly one. Cunt. Sounds so depraved, doesn't it?"
He scratched his jaw, considering me.
"Read me the line."
"I don't.
Sarah. If possible, I felt my face heat further.
He gripped her thighs, forced them apart, and stared at her wet, flushed cunt.
Wow, he said, laughing. That's something all right.
He moved back to his desk and started sorting through a stack of papers.
You can tell me all about your favorite parts over dinner.
I started to protest, but he lifted a finger to his lips and hushed me.
Read.
I stared at the page as the words swam together. What kind of woman makes a big deal over dinner? The kind of woman, Sarah, I thought, who recognizes that dinner leads to sleeping over, which leads to staying together every night, and that leads to keys and then moving in, and then come excuses and quiet sex, and then no sex and no conversation, and hoping that there is some public engagement that invites us as a couple so that I'll have time with him. Then again, I'd regretted not sleeping over with Max on the 4th, and I was starting to miss him during the week. Damn. I coughed, squeezing my eyes shut.
All right, Max murmured from across the room.
Fine. After another 20 minutes passed, and I'd read about 17 more sex scenes, Max walked over, ran a hand from my collarbone to my knee, and whispered,
"Close your eyes. Don't open them until I say."
"You're awfully bossy today," I said, even as I dropped the book to the floor and did what he asked. Almost immediately, my sense of hearing seemed to become so acute the room almost vibrated. I heard the sound of his belt, his zipper, and a quiet sigh. "Is he?" I could hear the soft brushing sound of his hand moving, how his rhythm started slow and then grew faster, firmer, the way his breath came out in short, tight gasps. "Let me watch," I whispered.
"No."
His voice was tight.
"I'm watching you."
I'd never listened to a person masturbate before, and it was torture to keep my eyes shut. The sounds were teasing, his quiet grunts and instructions to spread my legs wider, touch my breast.
"The book made you wet," he remarked,
and then I heard his hand speed up against his cock.
"How wet?"
I reached down, eyes still closed, and touched myself to find out. I didn't even have to say anything. He just groaned, and then swore in a familiarly deep voice as he came. I wanted to watch his face, but I kept my eyes closed, my heart pounding. The room went suddenly silent, except for the heavy rhythm of his breathing and my own. I became aware of the air conditioning vent overhead, the cool air as it poured over my too hot skin. Finally, he zipped up his pants, fastened his belt.
"I'll be right back. Going to clean up."
His footsteps retreated, and at the sound of the door opening, he laughed quietly.
"You can open your eyes now,"
he said, just as he stepped out. It felt like the room had grown darker in just the past 10 minutes. My hand was still between my legs, and the sounds of his orgasm lingered in my ears. I gave myself an experimental stroke and realized how quickly I could come. Maybe in less than a minute. Certainly before he would return. Without any more hesitation, I arched into my palm, remembering the sound of his hand, the speed of his movements, his little grunts and instructions, how easily he told me exactly what he needed. We had such an easy understanding, such a perfect balance. It was so easy. With that thought, my orgasm climbed up my thighs and burst forward, pressing starbursts of light into the back of my eyes and leaving me gasping. The door opened, and my hand flew to my neck, where my pulse hammered wildly. I slowed down a gasp and tried in vain to slow my breaths. I don't know why, after what he'd just done, I felt like I'd been caught with my hand in the cookie jar, but I did. Max smiled, walked over to me, and sat on the couch near my waist. I shifted over to make room, and he leaned a hand on the back of the couch as he bent over and pulled my fingers into his mouth.
"Have a nice rub, Petal."
"I guess if you'd stuck around to see, you wouldn't have to ask," I said, fighting the heat as it crawled up my neck.
"No matter," he murmured into my throat, sucking gently. "I'll just watch the video later."
He stood, walked over to an open cabinet, and pushed a button on a camera I hadn't even noticed, balanced on the top shelf.
You... what?
He turned, a wicked smile pulling at his mouth.
You got video of that? I asked. I had never felt so conflicted.
Be discovered. Terrifying. Be watched. Thrilling.
I did.
Max, my face...
His brows pulled together.
I trained the camera lower and put you exactly where I needed you. I wouldn't record your face.
He walked over to me and kneeled beside the couch.
Which is a shame, actually, because I love watching you when you fall.
He ran a fingertip down my cheek, studying my face before blinking and seeming to pull back into the present.
Now for dinner I was thinking Thai, but you're allergic to peanuts, and my favorite place has peanuts and everything. How about Ethiopian? Do you mind eating with your hands?
He grinned.
I swear no one there will know who the hell I am.
I gaped at him, completely forgetting that I was going to argue over going out for dinner. How did you know I'm allergic to peanuts?
You wear an allergy bracelet.
You read it? He looked genuinely confused.
You wear it so that people won't read it.
Shaking my head, I sat up, running my hands through my hair. The man I'd loved had barely noticed me. The man I just wanted to have sex with noticed everything about me. To my surprise, I whispered, "Ethiopian sounds perfect." Max led us out the back of the building into a black car waiting in an alley.
Really?
I asked as he opened the door.
Paparazzi follow you home?
He laughed and gently ushered me into the back seat.
No, Petal. I'm not nearly that famous. They only hit me up at events or on the street sometimes. The secrecy is for your paranoia, not mine. Queen of Sheba, Hell's Kitchen, he told the driver, and then turned to me. Thanks for keeping me company while I packed. You made an otherwise boring task quite enjoyable.
You didn't get much done. Really wasn't the most efficient evening for you, was it? I leaned forward, giving him my best skeptical eyebrow raise. He smiled, stared at my mouth.
You've caught me. I wanted you to come over tonight so I could remember how you looked naked on my couch. I've hired someone to pack up my office tomorrow morning before the painters arrive.
He closed the distance between us and kissed me once, sweetly.
Sometimes at work I wish I saw you more. I liked seeing you there.
I shifted in my seat, feeling a little like the world had been tipped on its end. I didn't really think there were men like you, I said, without thinking.
Honest? Easy to be around?
I looked over at him.
I already told you. I like you.
He reached for me, slid me closer, and had his lips to mine for the rest of the drive. It could have been a minute, an hour, or a week. I had no idea. But when we arrived in Hell's Kitchen, I didn't want to get out, and I most certainly didn't care that I was half hoping Max would ask me to stay the night with him. The waitress put down a large platter in front of us, with wedges of assorted vegetarian dishes fanning across the plate.
Take the injera bread and scoop the food,
Max said, tearing a piece and demonstrating. I watched him lick his fingers, chew, and then smile at me.
What?
He asked. I stammered, pointing. Your mouth.
You like my mouth?
His tongue slipped out again, sweeping across the corners of his lips, and then he lifted his glass and took a deep drink of wine. He made me feel more than drunk. He made me feel disoriented, reckless. I curled my hands into fists beneath the table, running through the fantasy of asking him to leave here, take me home, and touch me. Other than the kissing in the car, he'd barely touched me all night. Was that intentional? Was he trying to drive me crazy? Because, seriously, mission accomplished. I blinked, looking down at the platter, and then did what he'd done. Ripped off some bread, grabbed some lentils, and took a bite. The food was peppery, warm, and delicious. I closed my eyes and hummed. So good. I could feel him watching me. And when I looked up, he smiled.
What?
I asked.
You know what I do at work, that me mum works for the company, that I have at least one sister. You know about Cecily. All I really know about you, other than you're a fantastic shag, is that you moved here from Chicago a bit over a month ago, left a real twat back there, and work with Ben and his fiancée. Uneasiness nipped at my stomach, and I forced down the bite of food. I don't know. You seemed to know a bit more than that earlier. Oh, I have a library of observations. I'm talking about knowing you. You know where I live, where I work, and that I'm allergic to peanuts. It's been a few weeks, Sarah. It's weird that you still hold me at arm's length. He blinked away. I'm not sure I can forever be strangers. But we're so good at being strangers, I joked. And when his face fell, I relented. What do you want to know? He looked back at me, thick dark lashes pressing to his cheeks as he closed his eyes, thinking. He was so gorgeous, my pulse took over my entire head, hammering inside my cranium like a drill. Opening his eyes, he asked, Have you ever had a dog? A laugh burst from my lips. Yes. My father always had Dalmatians, but my mom is currently obsessed with Labradoodles. I beg your pardon. Labrador Retriever and Poodle Mix. He shook his head, grinning. You Americans, always messing with our canonical breeds. I lifted my wine to my lips and took a sip just as he asked, Why are you so scared of being with someone? I stammered out a few unintelligible noises before he laughed, waving me off. Just checking to see how far I could go. Do you have siblings? I shook my head, relieved. Only child. Crazy parents, so thank God they only had me. Another would have killed them. Why? My parents are eccentric, I explained, smiling as I thought about them. Eccentric almost didn't cover it. I imagined Mom with her feather wigs and jewelry, Dad with his thick glasses, short-sleeved dress shirts and bow ties. They were from another time, almost another planet. But their eccentricities only made them easier to love. My dad's always worked a lot, but when he's not at work, he becomes obsessed with one thing or another. Mom likes to be busy, but Dad never wanted her to work outside the house. She grew up in Texas and met Dad in college. She was a math major, but once they got married, she sold cosmetics from home. And then sold some crazy no-wrinkle cotton clothes. And, most recently, skin stuff. What exactly does your dad do? I hesitated, wondering, how can he ask this? Does he really not know anything about me? So, my last name is Dylan, right? He nodded, interested. Max is British. He's probably never heard of Dylan's. Telling him this felt like lifting a heavy iron chain. It was nice to think about being unburdened, but almost easier to leave it alone than try to lift it. My entire life, people had looked at me differently after learning who my family was. I wondered if Max would be any different. I took a deep breath and looked at him. My family owns a chain of department stores. They're regional, like in the Midwest. But they're big there. He paused, eyes narrowed. Wait. Dylan's, as in, you should love to live, Dylan's? I nodded. Oh, wow, your family owns Dylan's. Okay, then. Max ran a hand over his face and laughed to himself, shaking his head. Shit, Sarah, I had no idea. I feel like a wanker. I like that you didn't know who I was. I felt my stomach drop. Realizing that now that he knew I was someone, he probably would look me up. He'd learn about Andy, and realize what a fool I was to not know what an entire city had known all along. Max would know I'd been someone else's doormat before I'd ever been his mystery. I looked away, feeling a little deflated. I didn't want to talk about lives or histories or family. I searched wildly for a new topic. But he spoke before I could come up with anything. You know what fascinates me about you? He asked, pouring me another glass of honey wine. What? The first night we met, and then our first night in the warehouse in Brooklyn, the things you let me do.
and then tonight you flush at the word cunt.
I know, I laughed, taking a sip of wine.
I like that about you. I like your internal conflict, your sweetness. I like that you have this insanely wealthy